I'm still fairly sick, so I'm sorry if I cough. I'm going to try to mute myself when I do.
I think that's fair. It happens to everybody. And I should apologize right off the bat. I have been having a lot of things kind of come up left and right lately. And I've been going out of town a lot. So it's been like 2 weeks since we've recorded anything.
I think so. But I also haven't posted anything in like 2 weeks. So.
Oh,
that's
so
kind of my bad. So
I just broke the illusion.
This is going to come out in 2 weeks, so.
Okay. I could have just.
For any family at home, I am fine now.
Hooray! You do sound a little under the weather. I mean, are you feeling a little better?
Yes. My throat does not feel like someone's stabbing me, I guess, is the closest thing I can think of. Like, stabbing me from the inside out.
To my knowledge, I've never actually had strep officially, but I have had I've had such bad sore throats that when I've gone to the doctor, they've actually, you know, come back in with test results and been like, I'm amazed your tests came back negative, but I've never seen someone who has a sore throat so bad that they can't sleep and it not being strep. Like, so I don't know what the fuck you have, but yowza. But I know the absolute agony of that sore throat. It's so weirdly debilitating.
Yeah. My doctor does not test me for strep.
Oh.
My ear, nose, throat doctor, because the reason he doesn't do it is because it's like a waste of time and resources. Because the strep that I am so blessed with is not type A or B.
Oh.
So it won't show up on a test. It'll come back as negative.
Huh.
But you look at it and you're like, yeah, no, that's definitely strep.
Look, I'm not a doctor, and I don't mean to criticize anyone's profession, but I like the idea that they're like, well, we know it's neither A nor B, so we're just not going to test. And it's like, But how do you know if it's neither A nor B if you don't test? I'm assuming there's some kind of extra symptom or something that tells them what it is.
So it is because I have what is called recurrent tonsillitis.
Oh.
Which is, that's why they won't test for it anymore. Because they know that it is a recurring of strep. And when I have been tested previously, it has always come back negative.
In my defense, I didn't have full patient history, so I was working on just what was presented. And for anyone who's wondering, I've been binging straight through a lot of House, so I've got like medical shit on the brain. But I'm like, how can we test for this?
Yeah, so that is why I have had one occasion at the beginning of this, when I was still living back home and working at good old Starbucks.
Nice.
Where I went in to, because I knew there was something up. I didn't know what it was, but I went in.
Yeah.
And my throat was so bad that the doctor looked at it and was like, oh, my God. And he's like, can I see it again? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's really bad. And he's like, I'm not going to waste your time and test for this because I can tell you this is infected. And I can tell you that we can fix it. And we'll, and then I had like three different prescriptions.
Wow.
Just to fix it.
That's pretty impressive, actually. I have to admit, there's like two situations where you really don't want that kind of a reaction. One is your doctor. And two is like someone who you've been dating a little bit and you're being intimate with them the first time. And you're like, oh my, they're like, oh my God. They're like, well, what? I'm not that weird. What's weird? I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely not the kind of reaction you want.
Yeah.
You want someone, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, what?
What's wrong with me? What do you see that I don't see? Yeah, especially the doctor when, like, you can just open your mouth and they recoil and they're like, oh my God. And it's like, you're a doctor. You see a lot of stuff. Why are you recoiling?
He kind of more, I think, recoiled because he's like, I can't believe what I'm seeing right now.
Oh my God.
Like, he was just beyond surprised.
Your throat is like so swollen and scarred, or not scarred, but like chafed or just puffy and stuff. And he's like, I'm amazed that you're able to breathe, is how bad this is.
So I can describe it, and this is going to be very gross, so I'm going to just put that PSA out there.
Fair enough.
So when you look in your throat and you can see like where your tonsils are,
mm-hmm.
there's like the little indents and stuff. What I had was like these mucusy, pussy sacs just like completely covering it. And then like everything around it was like very red.
Yeah, just irritated. So, oh my God.
It's gross.
Well, but I think that does illustrate the recoiling of the doctor, even if they've seen stuff like that times. Like, even just from your description, I can imagine them seeing that, and it's not so much that they're disgusted by it, but they could instantly see how much pain you must be in. And so it's that kind of thing, like, if you see someone hit their thumb with a nail, a hammer, and you kind of recoil because you can sense how much that's got to hurt. And so, yeah, I can imagine they look down your throat and they see that and they're just like, oh, God, that's got to be so painful. Let's get you some drugs.
Let's give you so many drugs.
So many drugs, yeah. Here's one for inflammation to get that down. And this one's liquid form because otherwise it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, so with this bout of strep and considering how much that I have had it, I am considering getting my tonsils removed.
I was actually just...
I don't know when or fair if enough. I will. It's kind of a question mark.
I was actually just going to bring that up. The mainly just related to when you were saying, like, this is going to be a little graphic. My brother sent me pictures from when he had his tonsils taken out, and it is
horrifying.
But both, oddly enough, both him and my mom have had their tonsils removed. And I've kind of thought about it. I've never really had any problems, but I do get, for anyone who's familiar, they're called tonsil stones, I think.
Yep. I am very familiar with those because I get those as well.
Yeah, and luckily, like I said, they've never really led to problems other than just that sensation of them being there. Like, I've never had any infections or anything. But yeah, both my mom and my brother have had them removed. And the one thing I can say is, if when you go through it, lots of popsicles. Mom said that was a huge help because it's something that won't irritate it. It's, you know, it's practically just water. And it will actually, you know, you can kind of put it in the back of your throat and, like, soothe the area. And so she said that they were very helpful. She practically lived on popsicles for about a week.
I will have to keep that in mind.
Speaking of horrifying things, what are we talking about this week? Other than that, I mean, like, the topic.
We are talking about a satanic idol.
Ooh, boy. I'm excited.
And I am very excited because I have been waiting to show you pictures of what this idol looks like. I'm assuming you don't know.
No, and I do want to preface the pairing for this week. I was mostly going just on, and I don't mean to give a little bit of a spoiler, but you had said it would be about the Warrens. So when I was thinking about the pairing, I wasn't so much thinking about the idol, but just sort of their collection as a whole. And so the treat is, and I did think this up myself before I looked anything up on the internet, that I called Terror Misu, which I thought was incredibly clever and unique. But
I thought so too. I thought it was a good name.
Well, thank you. But if you search for it online, there's 1,000 different recipes. So it's hardly unique, but it is a perfect kind of thing for this. And I know that they have a lot of things like locked away in cases. And so depending on how you slice a tiramisu, it can look like a little crate kind of thing. So the tiramisu that I'm enjoying is actually just purchased from Walmart because I didn't have time to like make stuff. I did look up a recipe and I'm like, you've got to get what the hell are lady fingers? It's apparently a very British thing. I've never done it. And I also have been very lazy and haven't unpacked anything, so I don't have a blender or a mixer or anyways. Anyways, I purchased it from Walmart, and I poured just a little bit of grenadine over the top, and it looks like blood's kind of oozing all over it. It looks really good, and it tastes amazing. And if you like sort of cherry-flavored desserts, the just slight smattering of grenadine works perfectly. And then the drink is kind of based on all of the items that they have being haunted, and so it's meant to just be a whole bunch of spirits mixed together, and it is not meant to necessarily be tasty, but it is a single shot of rum, followed by a shot of vodka, followed by a shot of bourbon, although in this case I used brandy, followed by a shot of either Kahlua or Jägermeister. I went with Kahlua, and then a shot of tequila. And you top it all off very gently by, I mix them all together, pour about half of what I had in the mixer into a cup with a few ice cubes, and then top it off with grenadine. So it sort of is like a bloody mess mixing in with all of the ghosts. And the drink is simply known as, that's a lot of ghosts. Primarily because there's a certain duo of ghost hunters on YouTube that already has a very similar sounding thing, but referring to alcohol as spirits, and I'm sure they've trademarked it, so I can't say that.
I'm sure they have. I'd be shocked if they haven't.
But shout out to Roxy. We came up with that catchphrase together. So that is the drink.
Nice. The treat. Nice.
Yeah. We gotta put it on a t-shirt.
I mean, we do.
Yeah. That's a lot of ghosts.
A lot of ghosts.
Yeah, so hopefully you're up for the challenge of it. I'm actually surprised at how sweet the drink turned out, because I ended up adding a lot of grenadine. So I would, from the little testing I've done, I would recommend, there again, mixing all the liquors together, pouring about 2/3 of a glass, and then filling the rest of that with grenadine. At this point, I did about half and half, and it's a lot of grenadine, is what I should have called
okay.
it.
Okay.
It's very sweet.
Okay.
It's not exactly bad.
I will be trying the pairing at a later date, since I am not supposed to mix alcohol with my antibiotics.
Yeah, that's usually a bad idea.
Usually the recommendation is to not mix the two. So yes. I will be providing my thoughts on it on our next episode.
Hooray!
Yay! I mean, I do know what tiramisu tastes like, and I think it is very tasty, so.
I was going to say, it's hard to go wrong with it. And again, I just got a pre-made one from Walmart, and I'm just going to say, kudos to Walmart. I've had a few bites. I mean, I just picked it up.
Surprisingly good?
Yeah, it's very soft, and much as some people don't like this word, it's surprisingly moist, and it's perfectly layered. It's quite delicious. I'm kind of impressed. I think I grew up in an era when Walmart had a pretty bad reputation, especially when they first started adding things like a deli and, you know, a bakery and stuff. But it seems like they've come a long way. It's pretty solid.
I just think of the people of Walmart and the weird things that happen.
I was going to say, the clientele has not changed. I'm not trying to say, like, yeah, the overall average attendee of a Walmart is still something to behold. But Walmart themselves, they've really stepped up their game.
I believe it. You know, they're trying to stay on the same competition level as Target, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it especially in this day and age when we have Amazons and Wish.coms. And have you ever ordered anything from Temu?
I haven't, but I see ads for it everywhere, and I'm like intrigued, but I'm also too afraid to order something from there.
Yeah.
And that it would be like a very wish.com situation where it is entirely different than what I thought I was getting, or not at all. Although I say that, and I have actually bought jewelry off of Wish, and it was as advertised.
Okay, good. Oddly enough, I never ended up using Wish at all. But the only reason I even bring up Temu is because I never saw an ad. I never heard word of mouth, anything. But as anyone who's listened to episode before would know, I work for the Postal Service, and like a couple months ago, I'd say, just all of a sudden, these orange packages started showing up every single day, and it like took over all of our packages. So like,
oh my god,
yeah, 50%, no joke, of what we deliver these days is basically all Temu. So they have,
oh wow,
have really blown up, and I actually just placed my first order with them, and I had kind of the same sort of hesitancy that you did, where I'm like, what if it's not exactly what I ordered? What if it's a piece?
Yeah.
And it's like, the prices are so outrageously low that it's like, look, I just spent $50, bought 10 things. Even if one of them is what I ordered, I feel like I'm ahead of the game. So who cares? So when I get my stuff, yeah, I'll open it up and I'll let y'all know.
Yes, I would love to know. So then, should I decide to order stuff from them, I'm like less afraid to.
Yeah.
And like, you'll be my guinea pig.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the only reason that I did is I'm like, it wasn't even so much that so many people were ordering, it was that I consistently would get many, many packages for the same homes. And after like 2 months, I'm like, okay, these people are in love with this warehouse company, whatever. So I'm like, all right, I'll give them a shot. I need some new sheets. I need some new towels. I'll put in an order and see what I got. I need a knife sharpener. I got one for like $3. So we'll see how it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. But without any further ado, let's talk about some spooky stuff.
Yes. So we're going to talk about the satanic idol at the Warrens Museum. I wanted to talk about one of their objects, and I did not want to talk about Annabelle because everyone knows about Annabelle.
She has multiple of her own movies. She's a guest star in other movies. Yeah, I think we've had enough.
Yes, and they have a lot of other stuff, so I kind of wanted to highlight something different. So the info I got for today was from CT Insider and the official Ed and Lorraine Warren YouTube channel.
No kidding. Oh, good for them. Yeah. Is it actually them? Because aren't they pretty old at this point?
They are both dead. So is actually their son-in-law, because him and his wife own the Warren's house and the museum, so they still run everything.
Boy, I feel a little embarrassed now. I feel that's like, okay, like with all the Insidious movies. Well, yeah, no, it's Insidious, isn't it? That's
a Conjuring.
Thank and you, like Conjuring.
Haunting in Connecticut.
And the Annabelle movies are. Yeah. I just feel like, as much of a fan, quote unquote, as I would consider myself of their whole legacy, I feel like I should have known already that they had passed on.
To be fair, I was actually questioning that when I was taking notes, because I'm like, I knew Ed had died early 2000s. It was 2006. But I'm like, I'm pretty sure Lorraine is still alive, and she actually passed in 2019.
Oh, so, okay. Well, that's...
More recently... So if like you weren't, and to be fair, 2019 into 2020 was like the weirdest time. So I feel like that I can't blame anyone for like not knowing and then just kind of being oblivious to it. Cause
yeah. My first reaction, I just popped into your live stream and
yes. So I'm showing photos of said satanic idol.
Boy, if they ever make a movie out of this, they're definitely going to want to increase the scare factor a little. Because it looks terrifying. Like, if I just found this in someone's attic, I would be concerned. But more concerned about, like, what devilish stuff their kid was up to. Because it looks like a third grader making papier-mâché. I was kind of expecting it to be more Blair Witch, like twigs and like animal hide. I have never heard of this, nor have I seen this. It's kind of like a failed Henson project, like Jim Henson's earliest work, and it kind of does. Well. Wow.
It is a very interesting object, and I'm going to talk about their museum a little bit before I talk more about the idol itself. So,
okie dokie.
For anyone who doesn't know, the Warren Occult Museum was founded by Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are famous ghost hunters, spiritualists. Lorraine was a clairvoyant, and Ed was a demonologist. They lived in Monroe, Connecticut, so just, I want to say a few towns over from where this idol was actually found, in Sandy Hook, Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
So, close by.
Yeah. I don't mean to derail immediately. Is that the same Sandy Hook as the massacre?
Yes.
Oh, boy. There's
yeah.
A lot of dark stuff on that town then. Jeez.
Yeah. So, and as everyone knows, the occult museum is home to the famous doll Annabelle, who first appeared in the Conjuring movie and then later got her own series.
I was a little disappointed too, just when, like, because I definitely heard of her and the Warrens, of course, but when I first saw the movie, I'm like, wow, yeah, if there was ever a doll that was going to be like inhabited by a demon or Satan himself, it's that freaking doll. And then you see the real actual doll and it's like, oh, okay, they kind of Hollywoodized it. Because the real doll is just kind of a Raggedy Ann, and she looks real happy, and she's like, but I'll kill you.
I think that's, like, what makes it creepier, though, is that it's a doll that's, like, very everyday.
Yeah.
Versus, like, the creepy porcelain doll that, like, not everyone has.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it kind of goes back to the original Chucky movies. Because all the later ones, he's got like stitching and scars and he's all dirty and stuff and he looks more terrorizing as he goes. But yeah, the original doll, he was really just supposed to be like a kid's toy. And that's very, in a way, that is definitely much creepier. And that's very much the original Annabelle. It, like, some part of her scariness comes from looking just like a regular toy.
Yeah. And they do actually have the porcelain doll that was used in the movies at their museum.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
They do have both dolls, which I thought was really cool.
It is cool. It also is just kind of cool, like, you wouldn't think that the movie studios would like want to part with that. They wouldn't just give it up. Well, and I mean, maybe they made some sort of deal, I don't know, but yeah, that's kind of cool that it's in their collection.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it is.
And as of right now, the museum is run by the Warren's son-in-law, who, for anyone who is unfamiliar, Ed and Lorraine had one daughter, only child that Annabelle? They had. No, they did not name her okay. Annabelle.
Okay, good, good. That would have been a little creepy.
Gosh, I'm trying to remember what her name is. She's a very normal name.
Jen.
I'm going to look this up because it is going to bother me.
I hate it when that happens, when you're like, nope, I don't care what I'm doing right now. My brain is screaming for this answer. I have to stop and just figure this out because otherwise I am probably going to suffer an aneurysm. Oh my gosh, that was pretty close.
Judy is her name.
That is a very normal name.
Yes, and her husband is Tony Sparra, so she is now Judy Sparra.
Tony Sparra.
Yeah, so the museum is run by Tony.
Go, Tony.
And they have a lot of rules with the museum, and I believe since COVID, they're still not really doing tours.
Oh, fair. Really tight spaces. They're kind of
doing it on, like special requests, and I think they have to do some building maintenance too, and have had some zoning issues that they're working through.
Yeah, because I suppose like when the collection started, it was literally just their home, and now it's become sort of a tourist museum thing, and they're like, "Look, this is turning into a much bigger business, and you're not zoned for like commercial."
Yeah.
Ah, oh, damn zoning boards.
Yep. So, in order to enter the museum, you have to be blessed with holy water. And nice. If you don't do it, they will do it for you.
Okay. Oh, so you can seek out your own third party blesser, and then you can show up and be like, no, we have officially been blessed, and if you haven't, they will do it when you show up.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. They give you options. I appreciate that.
Yeah. The museum was established in 1952.
Oh, wow.
And they are still accepting new items. They will not turn away anything that wants to be given or donated to them.
Anything? I mean, I'm assuming they have to vet it in some way for...
Yes, I believe it has to be haunted.
Right, they're not just going to take any shoe or whatever.
Yes.
But like, yeah, if you can convince them that you have some kind of darkly possessed thing, they'll just be like, yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, I think kind of in the way that Zach Bagans collects stuff for his museum, he's like, I'll take all your haunted shit. And people are like, yeah, sure.
Lock it in my Bagans vault. Yeah.
I mean, basically.
Basically. He's going to be like a Gringotts of haunted things.
Of haunted things, yeah. Yeah. So this idol, which looking at it, it looks like it's made of like paper mache.
Yeah.
It is actually made of like a clay or porcelain, but they're really sure.
Okay. Oddly enough, that makes it more creepy because it really did. Like, just from the pictures you showed, it looks
like paper mache. It does. Yeah.
And you're like, okay, some fucking kid made it in his garage and then he threw it in the woods or something. Yeah, that would be wow, especially porcelain. Because then it would be so goddamn heavy. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And as I said earlier, this was found in Sandy Hook, Connecticut in 1991. And it was found by a hunter that was, you know, out hunting, deer hunting in the woods with, he was out with a bow and arrow. And he just kind of happened upon it in a clearing.
It was just in the middle of the, I kind of figured it was like stuck against a tree in a dense forest, but it's just out in the middle of a field.
Yeah, it was in a clearing surrounded by, like, this rock circle that was placed there. It was not just, like, there happened to be this circle of rocks, and they're like, this is a great spot for it. It was very intentionally made and put there.
Wow.
And the idol is about 6 feet 2 inches tall.
Holy shit. Okay, I mean, it looked, I'll be honest, I thought it was like hanging because where the head is in those pictures, it's very high up.
God, it like looms over too. Yeah,
I thought that was just sort of their way of placing it, but it's say that again, it's over 6 feet?
Yeah, it's over 6 feet tall.
God damn, that... I mean, that's even heavier than... Yeah, that's a lot of work, too.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And you don't see this from the photos, but it has, like, the arms and the torso, and then the torso just goes into, like, this cylindrical base.
Oh, so it doesn't have legs?
No, it does not have legs. It's...
Oh.
It just kind of, like, tapers into, like, this cylinder.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. Like, when I was definitely laughing when you first showed me the pics. The more you describe it, the more unsettling it becomes.
Yeah, the more the YouTube video I watched from the Ed and Lorraine Warren channel, it shows you like the full figure. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't like that.
Oh, no, thank you. No, no, no.
I like it a lot less now. Like because I thought it was more like paper mache. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, how scary is this thing really? And then... The more you learn about it and the more you look at it and you're like, oh, actually, this is very intentionally done.
Yeah. Well, and the way that it has no legs, it's just like all torso that kind of goes into the ground. It's like an evil mermaid cresting from the depths of hell itself.
It kind of is. yeah. So he found this sculpture idol just sitting in the center of this like rock circle grotto area and was just very overwhelmed by feelings of like dread and just overall, I do not want to be here. I want to get the fuck out of here and go home.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, now I'm trying to think of all the times I've been hunting, and especially where I go hunting with my dad and Uncle Cook, like it's pretty remote. We are usually positioned miles from each other. So like you are about as alone as you can be and just walking through the woods. You come to a clearing and you see this demonic doll protruding from the ground, surrounded by stones that, like you said, pretty much had to have been placed there by people. And you're just like, I don't ever want to be alone ever again. I'm gonna leave right now.
Yeah. So he started heading back in the direction of what he thought was the direction of where his car was. Oh. And then he started wandering around and he's like, I cannot find where my car is, which for him was strange because he's hunted there before.
Right.
So he's a bit more familiar with that area.
And not only, he's in a place he's been before. Hunters tend to be pretty good with like directions, not necessarily intuiting it, but like they're used to knowing where they're facing. They walk through the woods all the time and he's in a place that he knows. Oh God, that would be so creepy. I'm like, I have no idea where the fuck I am. I've been here 1,000 times. How can I not find my damn car?
Yeah. And then as he was walking along this path, he spotted a man wearing all black. So my initial thought was a goth in the wild, which is not the case.
Yeah, that's what he was out hunting. He's out hunting goths.
He's hunting the goths.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna clear them out of my land. They keep eating all my wheat. Goddamn goths. Yeah.
So this man kind of just came out of nowhere, and then looked to be about 70 years old. Had like,
oh my God,
white hair, short, clean cut white beard. But he was, like, matching this guy pace for pace, like, walking towards him.
Well, that's creepy.
And, like, didn't acknowledge him, didn't say a word. And when they got to each other, he asked him where the road was.
Oh, he did?
Which direction is the road? And he just pointed to the right, said nothing, and walked past him, and then, like, just kind of like disappeared in thin air almost.
Ooh, if I'm that hunter, that guy gets within like 50 feet of me, I'm gonna be like, it's bow time. I'm pulling out an arrow and I'm like, you better stop walking towards me or I'm gonna knock you the fuck out.
Yeah. And then after he pointed him in the right direction, he was at his car within like a few minutes.
Oh,
like
wow.
He was right there. Which just made me think of when people get lost in the woods, and almost 90% of the time when they get lost, they are within a mile of like the trail.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, almost
they're so close.
Right. And oftentimes there is that weird phenomenon where they have a tendency to walk in circles. So it's possible that like his car is within the perimeter he's walking, but he's like walking all day and he's just walking within the same like 4 mile radius circle, and like he's been next to his car the whole time, but he just doesn't know to turn a little bit tighter. Oh my God. And then you meet this weird guy in a black robe. I'm not sure how much of it I believe, but either way, it's still creepy. Like it's a horrifying story, especially if true.
Yeah. So he gets home and he tells his buddies about it like the next day. And he's like, yeah, I found like this really creepy thing in the woods. And they're like, you should call the Warrens. Like they live a few towns over. Like you should call them and have them check it out.
I already forgot like how close this is. So they probably would be familiar with them already. Like, you know, there are people that we can call that will investigate this creepy shit.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, that's like, that's a good idea. I will call them. So he agreed to meet up with them because he's like, yeah, I think I can take you back to like where it was and all of that. And he described to Ed the man that he saw when they met up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I know exactly who this is. that guy is a leader of a satanic cult. Like, he's like their priest.
Oh, that's awesome.
He knows the guy by name.
Right. Strangest
thing to me.
Yeah, fucking Terrence again. Fucking cult leader guy. Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, he actually was somewhat afraid of this guy. He didn't like to say his name.
Oh my god, he's like freaking Voldemort.
When I was
acting as Ed, I was making him very nonchalant. But I suppose he's gonna be like, oh yeah, no, I know that fucking guy. He's horrifying. Yeah. Stay the fuck away from him. Well, he did lead me to my car though.
Yeah. So then
he's a helpful cult leader.
I mean, if they are along the lines of what is actually the, I think it was the Church of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of more like do unto others as you would have done to you, and they kind of just don't be assholes.
Yeah, they're like, look,
you don't expect great things.
You guys, the Church of Satan gets a bad rap, okay? We're not like death to orphans and shit. We're just like, don't be dicks. You know, okay, yeah. So we worship the god of hell, who's, well, I guess it's like it's not Hades, whatever. They worship Satan, but they're like, we're not bad people.
There's like a distinction between Satanists and then like the Church of Satan, and that like they are separate things. Oh, okay. And I cannot remember which one of those is like that, but one of them is like that, and they're kind of more along the lines of like atheism.
I think it's Satanists, and the only reason I say that is just because the little that I know of,
well, that is right.
The Satanic Bible, people who adhere to its tenets, I guess, are considered Satanists. But like you said, they took that moniker without really thinking about necessarily how counterculture it would be, especially against faithful people. So like, when they say they're Satanists, it sounds way darker and cultish and like demonic than it is. But yeah, they're like you said, they're really more just like, don't be dicks.
Satanists that I'm thinking of, not the Church of Satan, because the Church of Satan, they actually believe in Satan, but Satanists do not.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate like kind of similar nomenclature situation. But I think the Satanists are, like you said, more along the lines of just atheists, and the Church of Satan are like, death to believers, death to Jesus.
Yeah.
God sucks.
Yeah, so either way, they go to this idol, and Ed's like, oh yeah, this is a satanic worshiping idol, and he's like, this doesn't belong in the woods. I'm gonna bring it back to my museum.
This doesn't belong here.
I know. Basically is like, this doesn't belong here. This is mine now, and just takes it.
It's like, look, Mr. Hunter guy, I don't know if you're aware. I know that you're in the woods a lot, but as a professional demonologist, I can tell you, this isn't supposed to be here. This is woods. That should not be in the woods.
This menacing statue shouldn't be in the woods.
I do have to admit now, though, I really want to know, like, the exact location of it. Not that I necessarily need to know how close to a town. I just mean, like, how far from the nearest, like, inhabited place it is. I guess I just mean, like, how much work these people had to put into it to construct it and then transport it out into essentially the middle of nowhere, which, considering that this is a hunter and he had to park his car somewhere and then, you know, like walk through the woods, they probably had to take multiple different vehicles with like either a tractor or an ATV with a trailer to bring this thing out into the, and it's just so much work. God damn.
Yeah. It was a team effort, I think.
Absolutely. Oh, you're right. Like, they're doing kind of their own Jesus walk with the cross thing. Just 20 people carrying this giant idol of Satan, I guess. Oh,
yeah. God.
Through the thicket, through the weeds and shit.
Yeah, so
that's devotion.
So Ed brings it back to their museum, and after about 3 days of bringing it back, he was out in the driveway changing the windshield wipers on his car, and Lorraine was down the driveway about 25, 30 feet away, watering the flowers.
And he hadn't told her that he brought home the satanic idol yet?
No, she was there. She knew it was there.
I thought she was just going to be suddenly struck by the presence of this demonic thing.
They were just having, like, a normal afternoon. He, like, waved to her down the driveway, and then she, like, waved back, and then he turned back to his car, and then he turned to go look at her again, and she is on the ground, collapsed in the driveway. Oh my God. Like, completely unconscious. So they call an ambulance, they get her to the hospital, and she basically was in, like, in and out of consciousness the whole time. And the doctors could not figure out what was wrong.
Oh my God.
And then after 3 days of just kind of worrying about, like, we don't know what's wrong with her, we can't figure it out, like, everything's kind of coming back either negative or, like, inconclusive, she just, like, snapped out of it and went home.
It's like, I'm fine, goodbye.
Basically.
Do you know who I am? I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It's just been a light touch of demon. I'm fine. Yeah. Now.
So Tony was saying that after about 2 days from when she then came home, he was talking to Ed about it, and he's like, man, that was, like, so weird. And he's like, oh, I know exactly what it was. The priest cursed us.
Oh.
And he believed specifically it was the man in the woods, because he knew who he was. He knew he was the leader. And he believed that it was a warning.
Oh, okay.
To them. Like, hey, like, you fucked with our stuff. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah.
Like, we'll let you keep the idol, like, whatever, but, like, don't touch her shit again.
Whosoever shall taketh this idol shall be stricken down in their home's garage area.
Yeah.
Driveway, and that's the word. Jesus.
He told his son-in-law that he told him, like, what his name was. He's like, yeah, it's this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't like saying his name because when I have, something bad has happened, like, every single time.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, wow. Jesus, like, this guy really is Voldemort. Damn.
Yeah, that's some bad juju. That's some strong ass power that guy's got.
Yeah. And as of today, the idol still lives and sits in the museum. When Ed was alive, he didn't like to touch it. He didn't like other people touching it, because Tony said he touched it once and Ed was super upset with him.
Oh, no.
Which is how he knew that it was made of more of, like, a porcelain ceramic material, because he thought it was, like, wood or paper mache at first.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's not. It's definitely different material.
I am kind of curious then, the pictures that you found, do you know if they're, like, up to date? Like, if that's its current state, essentially? And I only ask that just because I know that Annabelle, they, at least, I've read certain places that they consider her to be their most dangerous item, so they literally keep her in, like, a locked box. It seems like something like that, if you don't want people to touch it, you should probably encase it in some sort of protective thing so that people literally can't interact with it.
Let me check. I am trying to pull up their Instagram.
I'm not laughing at them having an Instagram, just, like, we're at that point in history where it's, like, even the most occultish sort of things have, like us on Instagram. Check us out.
It just shows it as a place on Instagram. It's not, like, their actual account.
Oh, well, okay.
I
mean, they should have one. That's all I'm saying. Come on, Tony.
They should. I thought they had a website.
Oh, they almost have to.
Not really finding it, but from what I understand, a lot of the objects are just, like, placed throughout the room, but there are certain things, like Annabelle that are locked up. This one is not one of them, because you can walk right up to it.
Well, and it is pretty big. I mean, like, I'm not trying to criticize them. It is a very large thing that probably is not easily gotten, like, a case for, especially that it can still be displayed with. You put a velvet rope in front of it with a sign that says, do not touch. If people decide to touch it, that's their own fault.
Yeah. It's... Well, I think they tell people not to really touch anything in the museum anyway.
Yeah, just... I mean... To be fair,
because who knows what you're going to bring home?
Well, and I mean, just from a museum standpoint, that's kind of standard etiquette. Like, you're going through of these presumably one of a kind artifacts, so to speak. Like, don't fucking touch them.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as I can tell, this one is not locked behind a case.
Well, then, touch it. You're on a risk, assholes.
Any of that. They don't really like to acknowledge this item and give it recognition, which I think they do that with some of the more stronger possessed items. Like, I think they do the same thing with Annabelle in that they don't really recognize her presence.
Yeah, and that seems like a pretty standard thing, the idea of which I'm just drawing from the little knowledge I have of, like, possessions and exorcism, the idea that they always say don't directly address it, don't talk to it, like, it gives it power, do not address, and then, don't interact with it. Don't, giving it attention gives it power.
Yeah. Which, in a way, feels kind of funny because you'll talk about it in, like, the third party.
Yeah. And it'll get into a movie franchise. But they're like, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's doing gangbusters at the box office, but do not say her name.
Do not. I think it's more that they don't want people going up to the object and then taunting it and giving it that direct contact, like what people do for Robert the Doll.
Robert the Doll?
Have you not heard of Robert the Doll?
I don't think so. Is there a movie about him? Because I guess what I'm thinking of is... Oh, okay.
No,
I'm thinking that immediately brings to mind a movie that I think is called The Child or The Boy. And it's this woman who ends up going and becoming like... She's kind of like a home, like, caretaker.
Yeah.
But the people who hire her tell her that she is effectively an au pair for their quote-unquote son, except the son in question is like a doll. He's like I think he's a ventriloquist doll. And she's like, this is fucking weird, but they're paying me a lot of money to live in this lovely house and just basically, you know, live here in this awesome place and just look at a doll. But then the doll starts moving. But I'm guessing it's not the same thing.
I had to check this because I wasn't 100% sure. So there is a 2015 British horror film called Robert that is about Robert the Doll. Mm-hmm. But Chucky is actually based off of Robert.
Oh, my. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was the case, but I was not 100% sure. So I wanted to check before I said that.
Well, and that also makes me think that pretty much 100% what I'm thinking of is not that, but either way, that's an interesting little tidbit regardless.
Yeah.
Wow. And I mean, when they say that, it's always like it can be incredibly loosely based, but still, that's quite a pedigree.
Yeah. So,
is that something within the Warren collection?
No, he is, he lives in Florida and is, he's in a museum, but when you go, you have to say hello to Robert and, like, acknowledge that he's there.
Okay.
And you have to ask permission to take photos.
Oh, okay. That does ring a bit of a bell. I don't think I've heard about him specifically, but I think maybe, like, what, like, Watch Mojo or something had like a top 10 creepiest
Oh, they items. Probably have him on there.
I was just, yeah, I think so. Now that you mention it, I do remember them saying something about that. Like, you have to introduce yourself and ask if you can take a picture. And if you don't, you're basically like, if you don't and then you do take a picture, you're cursed, essentially. And they're like,
things happen to people who don't. And the funny thing is that he gets letters from people apologizing, saying like, I didn't acknowledge you, or like, I took a photo of you and this horrible thing happened to me. Like, I am so sorry. Like, please take this curse off of me.
That's awesome. Okay. Which, and unless there's some sort of duplicate or like copycat, I've definitely heard of that. So yeah. Like Robert didn't ring a bell, but I've definitely heard the sort of stories you're talking about. That's creepy.
I will have to cover Robert then.
Yes. That sounds awesome. I'd love to hear more about Robert. He sounds creepy as shit.
So, but for our idol, that is all I have for it.
Well, that is creepy. A little
bit of a shorter episode today.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was a good episode anyways. I like the, I especially enjoyed the sort of descent into darkness, because obviously I was a little on the fence. Yeah. Like, I was a little on the fence when you first showed me those pictures. And it took me back right away when, I mean, like we were talking about, it looks like a poorly designed, like, third grader's papier-mâché diorama sort of thing. And then you're like, that's clay. And I'm like, that's clay? Because not only is that way more work, but it's also incredibly heavy. And then to take it somewhere and put it someplace is so much work. Like, because that's something you're probably not going to do just as a prank. That's a lot of freaking work. And it just leads to the higher level of creepiness.
Yeah, it's a lot of work was put into that. So I can understand, kind of on the other side, if like you put all this effort into it and then someone just takes it, being like, are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, I hadn't actually thought about it from the cultist side. Because like, looking at it, I was constantly thinking of it just from the hunter's perspective and like the Warren's perspective. But then if you put yourself in the position of that cult guy in the robes, he's also just walking through the woods. He's maybe going to a cult meeting with all these people. And he's like, I met this really weird hunter in the woods. He was fucking lost. It was strange. Let's get him.
Lost, like, wow.
Yeah. He's like, but anyways, yeah, it's just weird. You don't see people out this far. Let's do our cult thing. They have their cult meeting that night. And they're like, all right, I'll see you guys next week. And then they come back next week. And they're like, where the fuck is your idol? You put so much goddamn time into this. And those fucking Warrens took it. You sons of bitches.
I mean, would be so mad if I was him.
I would too. I mean, even if you're a satanic cultist, like, that's still a lot of freaking work. And materials, someone had to go get all that clay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think I would be more on the cultist side by the end of this, but I'm kind of coming around to like, look, that was still someone's hard work, and you just took it and then put it in your garage.
Yeah, it is.
Art is art. You shouldn't be stealing it and taking it for yourself.
Yes. Yes, that is very true.
That is the moral of the story. Well, I appreciate the story. It was wonderfully creepy and terrifying. Not like the tiramisu. I do still feel bad about not going through the effort of making it myself, but I'm also relieved because it was much easier and more efficient to just buy it. And it is, like I said, I have to give Walmart props. It is surprisingly delicious. Put a little grenadine on top. Yeah, I'm honestly kind of impressed. And now it actually brings the pairing down a little bit because it's a little too much grenadine. This would go the way, and I'm not super familiar with tiramisu. I've had it before, but this would go absolutely perfect with a fairly strong cup of coffee. Just the way and clearly that's like what it's made for. It's like, take a sip of espresso or something, take a bite of tiramisu. Oh my God.
Very well with coffee.
Yeah. It's like a really dark sort of caramel. And then the ladyfinger layering's in there with the cream. So The tiramisu, I'm gonna give it a 9. It is surprisingly really good, even just for store-bought stuff. The drink is a 4. As much as
drink,
I
not so much.
Well, and that was kind of the point. It's supposed to be like going into the Warren's cove of terrifying artifacts, like, do you dare? And the grenadine is really just there to kind of cut the heaviness of all of the alcohol. But I think, like I said before, I think I actually added a little too much grenadine, and there's oddly a bite from both ends. Like, there's obviously going to be a significant amount of sort of liquor taste, and I thought I could counteract that with enough grenadine, but I think I should have added some water. The grenadine is almost too sweet, and yet at the same time doesn't cut out the alcohol flavor enough. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, but kind of ironically, I think in one of our previous episodes with the blood wine, I think this is more what I was expecting that to taste like.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think if I was ever going to like serve blood wine as a sort of party favor kind of thing at a party or something, I would probably just go with this. It's, yeah, for whatever reason, it's more of what I thought it would be. Yeah, but if you give it a try later this week, you'll have to let me know. It's
yes, I will.
Certainly an adventure of my taste buds.
Love adventures of the taste buds.
Yeah. So yeah, the drink's probably a 4. The pairing together, it's probably a 6.
Okay.
They don't really complement each other very well.
Oh. Well,
with that being said, if you have any suggestions for pairings or stories or whatnot, feel free to email us at peculiarpairingspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at peculiarpairpod, Instagram at peculiarpairingspod, and check us out on Patreon if you wish. Why not?
Yeah.
Do we have anything in mind for next week? Are we doing another Warren adventure, or are we doing something else?
So next week, we're going to talk about a missing Malaysian airline flight that happened back in, I think it was 2013 or 2014.
Yes. I didn't listen to like a YouTube video about it, but it was mentioned recently and I kind of forgot about it. And the one thing that they brought up is like, yeah, it just disappeared. Like, it's still missing. And I'm like, for some reason, I had remembered there being more of like findings about it, but well, not to ruin that episode entirely. I mean, but there'll be plenty to talk about with they had records and stuff. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a perfectly creepy topic.
Yes. And then I think outside of that, we'll just have to tune in and see what we do.
Nice tease. I like it. Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in this week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. We'll see you in the future. Goodbye.